I gotta set the record straight here.
There we go.
There we go.
There you go. All right.
And it's my pleasure now to welcome the winner of the Huey Lewis lookalike contest at Concord Orthopedics, Dr. Stephen Fox.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good to have you.
I guess that beats Fox on the Run anyway.
Well, yeah, I couldn't do Fox on the Run.
That's just...
Because then it sounds like you're hiding from something. I couldn't do that.
It's just called bad rock anyway.
Oh, yeah. God. But the fact that an orthopedic surgeon knows about Blitz and Fox on the Run, I appreciate that.
I think it was a suite.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
It was sweet. Fox on the Run.
Absolutely.
Ballroom Blitz.
A ballroom blitz.
Yeah, yeah. God,
irrelevant
I hated that
information
stuff.
Still stored
oh
up there.
God. Why? Don't you have other things to put in there, Steve?
I would like to think so. It's pretty scary, actually.
Wow. So what's going on in your little part of the world of Concord?
We're still... as busy as we can be, and trying to deal with the construction outside of our office right now. And,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't get out of our office today, so we're being very...
Oh, that's it. So you got him there. You're not letting him go.
And they can't escape. But no, things are going well.
Now, I don't remember where I saw this, but somebody said they tore a meniscus like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And they said, I'm getting it taken care of.
Right.
You can go...
You can walk on a torn meniscus forever.
You can.
It's not an obligate that you have to have surgery because you, quote, tore the meniscus. You can walk on a torn meniscus for a long time. In fact, I encourage people to try and do it.
Is there pain involved with it?
It's basically a pain thing, you know, terms of whether you have it taken care of or not. If you can deal with the pain, you know, if you have a twitch one day a month.
Right.
You know,
small
price to pay. Because the meniscus is basically the cushion of the joint, protecting it from arthritis in the future. So, you know, you shouldn't aspire to having that removed. You know, if you can save it, you should try and save it.
Right.
You know,
is that an easy procedure?
Well, now it is. I mean, back in the day, you know, it was an open procedure, and the problem was, even if you had, say, 10% of the whole torn, you had to take the whole thing out because we didn't have arthroscopy back in those days. Now arthroscopy, we just pinpoint the torn area, leave the untorn part behind to do its job in the future.
Now, meniscus is the one that doesn't have blood flow.
Correct. Very avascular. Yeah.
Right.
Without blood supply. So it's unlikely that it'll heal itself. But I tell people probably 10 to 15% do heal themselves, and we may not even know about it
really?
Because they have 6 or 8 weeks of pain and it clears up. Well, they may have had a meniscus here that healed.
So
we'll never know.
So because it doesn't have a blood flow through it
or poor,
does that make it easier to, an easier thing to replace?
Well, you can't replace it.
You can't.
No, we went through the cadaveric approaches, and that didn't work.
Oh, okay.
And synthetic approaches.
So what do you do? Stitch the meniscus back up?
Well, if you can. It depends on where the location of the tear in the meniscus is. If it's further out toward what we call what you can feel,
right.
So that's where the blood supply is. If it's further into the joint, which most of them are, that's basically devoid of any kind of supply of blood. It's not going to heal. So, and then the younger patients, certainly, you know, the 18-year-old kind of athlete, if you will, you make every effort to repair them because they have a long time to live on that knee.
So if you tear a meniscus at an early age, or 20s or 30s,
yeah, right.
Does that make you?
I still think that's young.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you predisposed now for arthritis?
Well, if you have that meniscus heal, no.
Okay.
That's the point of trying to save it. Where if you remove it like we did about 50 years ago, you had a 10% tear, the whole thing came out in a male that's 27 who's 235 pounds. That guy's probably going to get an arthritic knee because of the surgery. Now, those days are over.
Right.
Because now with arthroscopy, we can just kind of pinpoint the torn area, remove that, say it's 25%, remove the 25%, and the other three-fourths of meniscus is still left intact to do its job in the future. And as a result, we see a lot less of that.
So there's nothing you can do to replace that 25% you're taking out?
Not really anymore. No, we've looked at everything and no.
Really?
And plus, the ends probably don't justify the means because that's major surgery to do it. But it doesn't exist.
It is.
But it doesn't exist. You know, we don't have a replacement that actually works.
Really?
Yeah. And we've looked at it, believe me.
See, I would have thought you can replace everything on the body.
Yeah, well, we looked at the cadaveric part of it. And the problem is we couldn't take, not to get into too much of the nuts and bolts here, but you couldn't test for HIV with the meniscus of tissue, and that was years ago.
Really?
And so that kind of shot that one out of the
water.
Gotcha. And then the synthetic just didn't really work very well. And plus, it's, you know, how are you going to have a 25% repair? So I think that we've tried everything, but now the goal is to save the meniscus at all costs.
Wow.
Or if you have to remove it, remove as little as you possibly can.
Sure, sure. That makes sense.
Yep.
Now, can you can stitch it back up?
Oh, and we do.
I mean, do.
It's certainly a lot of the ACLs, of the ligamentous injuries, you see a meniscus tear in association with that sometimes.
Okay.
And so you'll do the repair and the repair of the ACL at the same time.
So when you stitch it back up.
Yeah.
And I'm.
You can do that through the
arthroscope.
I'm
doing a
too.
Sale.
Yes.
I'm like fixing a sale, doing
exactly.
that thing.
Yeah, okay. Right, exactly.
What does it accomplish? Well, basically, now that you've stitched
it
back up.
Well, because you have the chance to get the blood supply into the repair.
Okay, you do have a chance.
And it works. No question it works. And we've been doing it now since as long as I've been around. So we've been doing it 30 years now.
Your knees are your knees.
My knees are my knees, yeah.
Okay, well.
But I had the old style surgery where you went in there with the open procedure and took the whole thing out.
Oh.
And I've done remarkably well, when I think about it, in terms of not needing my replacement yet.
I was going to say, are you going to have a replacement?
No guarantees. I don't think I get my X-ray every couple of years just to keep an eye on things, and so far, so good.
How's your golf game?
I just got through surgery on my shoulder this year.
Oh,
so my golf game, and you know it had to be bad because I timed it basically in April, which is the beginning of golf season around here.
Yeah.
So I haven't picked up a club in 5 months, but I'm getting there. Slow but sure.
Now, with shoulder surgery.
Cuff. That was a rotator cuff.
Who did the?
Dr. Casey did.
Ah.
My partner.
No,
yep.
He did a good job. Well, you didn't trust Karen?
I love Karen. you have to pick one.
Well, I get that.
It's kind of like first grade a little bit.
Well, yeah.
You have five people in your group that do the same thing. You have to pick one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the other four pout, you didn't pick me.
Yeah. I think that's tough.
That's a bit of a problem, yes.
So how long on the shoulder before you can actually swing again?
I was going to say about 6 months, considering the size. It was a massive tear. So, I was out of the OR for like 3 months, and that just kind of shot the whole world up because, my wait list was 6 months before I went out.
No kidding.
But I had no choice if I wanted to keep working,
do procedures?
It was getting very, very hard to do them.
No kidding.
And I had to say, look, this is crazy. So it's been a long summer.
Now, I've always wondered, when that happens, are you still in the room doing stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
You're just not handling the blade and stuff?
Well, no, I'm doing that. I just have to be aware of the fact that my endurance isn't going to be as great. So I was, instead of doing five a day, I was doing two a day.
I got you.
And I went into the surgery, which I pretty much planned in about 3 weeks. I said, this is it. I can't keep on anymore.
Wow.
So it's been an interesting being on the other side of it as a patient.
So if I go to the website, am I going to see a testimonial from Stephen? Talking about the
Patrick.
Yeah. Dr. Casey was just the best.
They haven't called me about that yet.
Funny that hasn't happened.
Amazing. I'm a little scared. Why is that?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting summer. But every doctor should be the patient once in his life because it keeps them very humble.
Were you a good patient?
Yeah, I think I was.
Okay.
I think I was. I think I did most of what was asked of me.
Wow. Do you find that with most people? After the procedure, do they do most of what they're supposed to do?
I think the majority do. Because they got a lot of stake. I had a lot of stake. I couldn't re-tear this thing. That was not an option.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stake, and you control a lot of that by how compliant you are. I always tell my patients, I look real smart when people do what I ask them to do. I look real dumb when they don't. And it's true. It absolutely is true.
But, that gives, from my standpoint, that gives you more cred when you're talking to patients. Had the knee, had the shoulder.
Well,
been there, done it, guys. I get it.
And I've told people that. Said I've been on the other end of it. I've had my knee done 3 times. I've had my shoulder done 5 times. So, I know what I'm talking. I've been on your end of it.
Why do you abuse your body so much?
I played football. That was a
yeah. Well, that's true.
I would do it again if I had to.
Did it take that long for it to?
Well, a lot of the surgeries were while I was in college and playing ball at the time. This is really my first adult kind of procedure I've had in 40 years. So,
oh wow!
So it's a little different. I'm not 22 anymore. It's a little different when you recuperate.
Yeah.
A little different when you recover. When you're not of that age group anymore. And plus, it never affected my work before.
No, I
was in school.
I'm sure that when the senior partners sit down and chat.
Yes.
You've seen the demographics, just like everybody else. New Hampshire's getting older.
Well,
are you making plans?
We may be the oldest state in the union.
Well, we're up there with Japan.
We're up there. Yeah. So
if you look at the Japanese at the demographics in Japan, we're kind of like similar.
And plus, it really dovetails into what I do in terms
of
replacing hips and knees. So
have you made plans to accommodate all this?
Work with the hospital to try and get a center developed here that will address only artificial hips and only artificial knees.
No kidding.
And the template for that is out there. It's being done in the country now.
Is it really?
Now, a lot of it's Obamacare kind of stifles that a little bit without me getting off on that. But I think that eventually, I think it's going to come around, and I think that we're going to realize that there's going to be an epidemic, if there isn't now, of arthritis of the hip and knee. In the year 2025, conservatively, they're saying it's going to increase 200% over what we're doing now. So, wow. And I think that's low. I think
just 7 years?
Yeah, that's low, I think. I think it's going to be three or four times. Because A, we are getting older. B, sure. Patients have expectations of being fixed.
Well, and we're getting fatter.
And we're overweight.
Which does not help.
We're overweight. Well, that combo platter has never existed in our society before in terms of the age.
Right.
And the weight,
right.
The expectations, and, quote, still being active.
Yeah.
That combo has never existed before. You know, so I think that we have to address it. And, you know, I think we're trying to. We understand, even though we're a small state, we're an old state. And patients come to us from out of state.
Oh, they do.
You know, so I think that, you know, we're looking at that, and we're working very well with the hospital to try and develop this.
So how do you ratchet back expectations so they're not unrealistic?
Well, that's the hardest part of my job.
I would think.
I mean, I tell people the hardest part of my job is trying to coach you up on what you're getting into here, because you've never done this before.
Right.
You know, you're having an artificial appliance put in your body, all right? It's wonderful. It's great. It's painless. It's not normal.
Yeah.
And I'm not making you 16 again. If you want that, you're in the wrong place.
I would think if anybody promises that, run like hell.
Yeah, right. So I said, you're looking for the wrong thing. Or keep your own knee or hip.
Yeah.
Wear that out on your own time. So weight is a problem. I'm getting people to lose weight before surgery. I never did that before. But we realize that there's clearly an increased risk of infection.
Yeah.
And the longevity factors is obvious in the obese patient.
Infection rate does spike if you're obese?
Directly, if everything else aside,
yeah.
You know, your weight alone, the so-called BMI,
right.
Body mass index, you know, we found that by itself is an independent kind of predictor of infection of prosthetic joints only.
Wow.
Now, you can have your eyes done or your ears done or whatever.
Right, that has nothing
to do with it. But with an artificial hip or knee, clearly, and I tell people, look, this is what I worry about on your behalf. The easy part for me is doing the surgery on the day of surgery. The hard part is being worried about your next 20 years of whether you're going to contract an infection because of your weight. So if you present it the right way, you know,
you can address
the problem.
How soon after the procedure does an infection really start to
hit? Could be any time. Now, 90% of them are in the first year.
Really?
But it could be any time.
So you could slide 6 months into it going, hey, I feel great.
Awesome.
Everything's wonderful.
And then
you find out you've got an infection.
Right.
Wow.
And fortunately, that risk is low.
Okay.
But it's prohibitively increased in the obese patient.
Wow.
So that's a problem. And so we're trying to address it. And obviously, it's a problem in our country right now. And so it takes me a lot more time to say no than it does to say yes. And I'm saying no because of these reasons.
Right.
You know, an infection could lead to amputation. You know, and when you use that word,
yeah.
All of a sudden it frames the discussion a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Because that
you got
that,
my attention.
Because that thought never occurred to them.
No.
It never occurred to them.
No.
I just want my knee fixed.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy. Wow. It's easy on the day of surgery.
So if I come walking in, I come in to see you,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
figuring, all right, we're going to schedule something.
Right.
You go, okay, let's chat.
Let's chat.
By the way.
If your BMI is 40-something, we're going to have a discussion.
There you go.
You know.
Okay. Now it's going to take them 4, 5, 6, 7 months
right.
to lose weight.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Correct.
So if they walk in thinking,
but you got,
get this done.
You got to show me something. You got to have some skin in the game, and this is why. Like I said, the easy part for me is doing the surgery the day of surgery. That's the easy part.
Right.
The hard part is worrying about it for the next 20 years because of your weight. And the worst part of all is to lose the weight, have the surgery, then gain it back afterwards.
So you're saying that...
That's the worst part.
If I'm hearing this, I can get an infection 10 years down the road?
Anytime.
So what, that little bug... just kind of hangs out in the body?
Well, the problem with the implant,
yeah.
It's a mechanical device. There's no blood supply to the implant.
Yeah, good point.
So, then people don't understand that either. So, if a bacteria finds its way in there, and bacteria is flowing through our bloodstream every day of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
If it finds its way in, there's no way to get it out, or there's no way to treat it, to get
you can't
antibiotics
just give
to
me
it.
A pill?
You can't. There's no blood supply. How are the antibiotics going to get there?
Yeah,
they aren't going to get there.
Yep.
So, that's a big problem. So I spend a lot of time now, you know, talking about the weight loss, not about the hip or knee they are about to do.
They didn't teach you that in med school.
No, they didn't teach me that when I wanted to do hips and knees either. But it's become such a pervasive problem now over the last 20 years that it's really changed the way that you practice. And it's, you know, it's hard because, you know, you want to help the patient because they can't walk.
Yeah.
And, well, I can't lose weight because I can't move. I understand that. but you have to change the way you eat. There's no other way to say it.
Do most of them take a while? I mean, they got to have a mirror in the house. They got to know.
Right. And, you know, you don't say that they're
right.
You know, you say, listen, this is what I'm worried about on your behalf, is that if I do the surgery, you get an infection, you're worse than you are now. You ever think about that?
Mm.
The only thing worse than what you have now is you're walking in here today with a horrible knee, you almost can't walk in here, is an infected artificial joint. That's what I have to prevent you. I got to steer you away from the minefield here, you know? And that's hard. It's hard. It's a hard conversation to have. But they respond to it well if you present it well. You know?
Father Fox will be taking confessions later today at Concord Orthopedics.
Don't bring the religion in this place.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What am I thinking?
Don't give me religion, please. But it's, you know, it's a little bit of that, though.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, there's a little bit of that.
I'm getting the whole counselor
because,
thing.
Because, you know, you really spend the time with them. They really understand that you care about it.
Yeah.
It's not that you're saying you're overweight.
Right.
That we have a now your weight's affecting your decisions in healthcare now. It's not just cosmetics anymore or the way you look. It's affecting how you're going to live your life.
But
and if you present it that way, I won't say the majority,
right,
but a sizable group will respond. I've had patients lose 100 pounds.
Wow.
No one ever asked me to do that, doctor. Okay, well, good.
Okay, cool. But this should not. Somebody's got a BMI of 42.
Yeah.
You saying, hey,
lose 30 pounds.
Okay.
Lose 30.
This should not be a shock to them. Like, yeah, I know I am.
But they didn't know the relationship between their weight and avoiding the operation.
Gotcha.
You know, that they didn't think that was going to be have an impact on the decision process.
So we're doing the if-then scenarios.
Well,
if you
right.
don't do this, then.
Well, you're going to reduce your risk of a catastrophic infection
if
you show me something here. You know, lose about 30 pounds. So the ones that respond, I see them every 3 months. I get them on the scale in a very discreet manner.
Right.
We check the weight. And if it's trending the right way, okay, you have now shown me something.
You got one of those things in the parking lot where you just drive the car over? They don't have to get out.
It's the brew-through, we call it. Don't get out of the car. Just
that's it.
Just get your beer as you
that's
walk
subtle.
Out.
That's subtle. Come on, subtle. Steve. That'll work.
But no, it's a big point of discussion now. It really is. And the patients never dawned on them that issue is going to impact how we make a decision.
If
you present it the right way, and there are various ways in which you do that,
sure.
You know, most of them will respond.
So you're better at that than I am. I'm too blunt, you know.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, I said I want to help you, but my hands are tied.
Yeah,
it's, you know, so I think that, you know, it's just hard because I think but when you say it, when you make the right points about the only thing worse than what you have now is an infected joint. I mean that. They understand that.
What position did you play?
I was a tailback.
Tailback?
Which means I got hit three times every time I had the ball. And then,
victim here.
I think the half-life in the NFL for those guys is like 3.2 years.
Oh, God. Wow. Well, you chose a good career path, Steve.
Well, it worked out okay.
What are you doing today?
I'm in the office all day.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing.
So there you go. Dr. Stephen Fox, that's Concord Orthopedics.
Always a pleasure.
Steve, We'll get you out with your
Fox on the Run.
No, yeah,
please.
No, I'm not doing Fox on the Run. We'll get you out with Huey Lewis.
There
Steve, come back.
You.
Come back.
I shall be. I'll be back.
Taking a break. Back
thanks for having
more.
Me.
We start your day the right way. Good morning, New Hampshire, with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Pulse.
Here are some of the.